blessed to be in church this morning. I've got in before. I think the rain's coming, so it is a blessing to be here this morning. Amen.
Oh, All right. Well, hopefully you can hang in there and stay standing. We're going to sing the very next song, Heavenly Sunlight, number 59.
Cleaning, and another week after it's going to be a regular cleaning. So we're going to try to do cleaning every week since we've been having more visitors and more people in the church. So Miss Gloria was so kind to make this up for me, but she put up a little thing here to where what entails like a touch-up cleaning and what entails just a regular cleaning. And if you have any questions, feel free to ask me, and we'll try to work through it. But after the service, I'll put it up over there. It's going to start next week, August 8th, with just a touch-up cleaning. So if you're interested in helping out with cleaning the church and then also with the mowing back there, feel free to sign up, and that'll be there for that. As well, for other announcements, so Lord willing, this week as well will be... the public outreach, barring any tornadoes. You know what? I can't figure out this Pennsylvania weather. Listen, Pennsylvania's crazy. I'm telling you. I don't know about some of you, but we had tornado warnings come across our phone. And that was like 5 o'clock, 5:15. I said, yeah, I'm not going to go out there and pull up signs with tornadoes possibly coming through. I don't think that's a wise decision. Rain came through all black. And then at like 10 to 6, the sun's out. So that's why I canceled it, because I didn't realize that the sun would all want to suddenly come back out and everything would be fine after that if nothing ever happened. So, but Lord willing, I think the weather's supposed to be okay this Thursday from 6 to 7. So if you're interested, Thursday 6 to 7 at Pine and Front Street. Lord willing, too, I brought this up. I put a sign-up sheet over here. Starting August 31st, that's a Tuesday, I'm going to try to start doing a grief and sorrow Bible study / class on Tuesday nights from 6 to 7. The time is tentative right now to see who signs up. I ask if you want to try to attend it to sign up, because I have a book that I'll be handing out as well that goes along with it. So that's the only reason I'm asking to sign up, so that I can purchase the book for those that want to attend, so we can go through it. But it'll be specifically dealing, because I have had a couple people ask me about doing a grief or depression type Bible study.
Amen.
So Lord willing, I don't know if it'll go for 5 or 6 weeks yet. I'm still working on the lesson plan for it. But it'll be at least 5 weeks going through, just dealing with grief and depression and what the Bible has to say about it and how we can overcome it and go forward with the Lord. So if you're interested in that, the sign-up sheet's over here. Please put your name on there so that I can get the book order that we're going to try to look at as we go through it. And then also tonight, we're still going to have services here also on Wednesday night. First Baptist Church, Pastor Gilmore is having his tent meeting all this week from tonight through Friday at 6:30 at night. So if you're interested in going over there and supporting them, that'll be all this week here. But I know Pastor Gary used to go over there and support them, but with the visitors we've been having come on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, I feel like I should be here just in case people show up, that because we've had visitors pretty regularly. So I don't want to lose that momentum. Somebody showing up from off the internet or out of the middle of nowhere, which seems to be happening. I want to be here for that. So, but if you're interested in supporting, even if you want to go tonight, I understand. If you want to go there instead of here tonight, I understand that. That'd be fine. But it's 6:30 this evening. Pray, brother, tonight at 6:30. So all week, 6:30 at night. So and pray for Pastor Gilmore with some of the health issues that he's dealing with. And then this week, he's got to deal with this week as well. So I believe that's all I have for four announcements. Let's go over our memory verses. Lord willing, this week we're going to start with assignment number 2, page number 10. Assignment 2. We're going to start a new list here in the month of August and September. But it's on page 10. It talks about the new birth, the only entrance into God's spiritual kingdom. And this morning we're going to look at the first verse, which is John 3:3. But over the next month here, we'll basically be memorizing John 3, verse 3 through verse 7. Okay? So let's just say it all together. This morning we'll say just the first verse where it says, the lost are blind and cannot see. So I'm going to repeat John 3, 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Amen. Amen. So kids can go down to Sunday school. You know, what I find is, you know, what we just read there in John 3:3, I'm amazed at how the Lord works with different things. We've been looking at a study in both Wednesday night and also Sunday night, and it's kind of going along lines of false prophets, false teachers, and along those lines. And I'll say this to you as brethren, if the Lord ever, in your walk with God, if God ever impresses something upon you, don't dismiss it. Okay, don't dismiss it. If you're walking with God and God just lays something on your heart or just something in your spirit just is there, don't just push it aside right away. Always take heed to that. If you're walking with God, take heed to that still small voice. And the reason I'm saying that is there's some verses on Wednesday night that I skipped and went over for sake of time. But I did talk about a subject of how in latter days there will be false prophets and false teachers coming in, even denying the Lord that bought them. And I talked a little bit about how Jesus Christ is God. And to deny that Jesus Christ is God is heresy. Right? And I said you have to be wary and observant of those that come in as visitors that come into the church. You know, not just the pastor, all the members and brethren, keeping your eyes and ears open to what somebody might say. Well, sure enough, Wednesday night, there's somebody here. I got talking to them. They don't believe Jesus is God. Right in our midst, Wednesday night. So, I don't think that's a coincidence. So, always have your ears open and your eyes open. And don't push aside if the Lord's nudging you to say something or to pray about something or to do something, because there might be a reason God's wanting you to do it. So take your Bible this morning. Let's look back over at Genesis chapter 1. And last week I kind of went over look a little bit towards the end about being planted and how we need to be... We need to be comfortable and allow God to plant us where He desires us to be. Look at Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 8. Genesis 2, verse number 8. Well, look at verse 7 real quick. Genesis 2, 7. And Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there He put the man whom He had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So before we go forward here, let's pray again. Heavenly Father, I thank you again for this morning, Lord. I ask you to just lead God and direct. Clear my mind, clear my heart, dear God. Just help me to say exactly what you'd have me to say. Lord, that would help all of us just to magnify you, glorify you, praise you, and draw closer to you in these last days that we're living in. And Father, I ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. But the Bible says here in verse 8, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward, and there He put the man whom He had formed. So God, as I said last week, there in Eden, God planted a garden in the east side of Eden. And then after He made man, He put man into that garden. All right? Adam didn't really have a choice in this. God makes him. He's God's creation, and now God says, I'm putting you in a garden where I want you to till it and take care of it. And we're going to look a little bit more on verse 9 next week. But I want to continue this thought this morning of, are you comfortable? Are you willing to go and stay where God plants you? Now, sometimes it doesn't make sense, and sometimes you don't understand why God's doing what He's doing. But the understanding, we don't need the understanding. We just need the obedience. Does it make sense this morning? God might not explain Himself to you. Often times He doesn't explain why He's doing what He's doing. He just puts you through it with the intent for you just to be obedient to what He has you going through. But most people, they try to run from it, or they try to start asking questions of, why, God, are you doing this? Take your Bible and look at Psalm 119 and verse 71. We looked at two of these verses last week. Psalm 119 and verse 71. There's this notion through at least charismatic or Pentecostals, along that line there, non-denominational, some churches teach this and believe it, that a prosperity gospel or a name it, claim it type of gospel. All right, I've known individuals before that their nose is running, they're hacking up a lung, their ears are clogged up, and you look at them and they say, I'm not sick. Well, what do you call that? I'm not sick. I just have a little runny nose, but I'm not sick. I'm fine. No, you're in denial. Because what you believe is not working. So you have to make some excuse as to why your nose is running, you're hacking up a lung, you've got a 104-degree fever, and you're laying in bed, but you're not sick. Right? Well, you can't be sick if you're part of the name it and claim it crowd. Because all you're supposed to do is just name it and claim it, and then your sickness is supposed to depart. No.
Listen, brethren, I believe as a true born-again believer of God that God has set up our life to mostly be a life of afflictions, trials, temptations, and hardships. Unfortunately. But it's for our own good. You see, listen, if everything always went perfect in your life, why would you have to cry out to God? Or draw nigh to Him? Or get closer to Him? Look at Psalm 119. And look at verse number 71. Psalm 119 and verse number 71. The Bible says here, look what it says. It is good for me that I have been afflicted. It is good for me that I've been afflicted. Why is it good for you to be afflicted? That I might learn thy statutes. What does affliction mean? What is the definition of affliction? Listen now, it is good for me that I have been afflicted. It is good for me that I'm in a state of pain. It is good for me that I'm in a state of distress. It is good for me that I'm in a state of grief. It is good for me that the cause of continued pain of body or mind or sickness or losses or calamity or adversity or persecution. It is good for me to be in this state that I might learn thy statutes. You see, what afflictions and what trials and those things, what they should do for you is they should drive you to the Word of God. Because as you get driven to the Word of God, you realize that though you're going through all these hard things, there's a God that's right there with you, helping you and carrying you through it.
Amen.
I just learned of another individual this week that their son took his life. Listen, brethren, as we go through, and I know I'm a broken record on this thing, but this thing, the Lord will not leave me alone on this. It's not going to get any better. It is not going to get any better. Unfortunately, it's not going to get any better. But what it can do is it could make our walk with Christ better. It is good for me that I have been afflicted. The definition of affliction means the cause of continued. There's no relief, or very little, of continued pain of either your body or continued pain of your mind as a sickness, losses, calamities, adversities, persecutions. The psalmist says here in 119 verse 71, it is good for me that I have been afflicted. Why? That I might learn thy statutes. Look down at verse 25. In the same chapter, Psalm 119, verse 75, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness has afflicted me. Who's afflicted him? Who's afflicted the psalmist here? God. Do you see the wording in the Bible here? I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou, who? God, in faithfulness has afflicted me. What has God caused this psalmist to go through? A state of continued pain, body or mind, sicknesses, losses, calamity, adversity, persecution. God's allowing it to happen. You see, we often want to blame everything bad that happens on the devil. But so often, God will put us through things to prove us and to try us to see where our allegiance lies. The Bible says in Deuteronomy that God put the children of Israel through some hardships to prove them. You see, there's a misrepresentation of a verse in the Bible when it says, by His stripes we are healed. That's not talking about physical healing. That's talking about sin. In context of those verses and those chapters, it's not talking that Jesus Christ is going to heal us from every physical ailment and sickness. If that were true, this is what I want individuals to do that believe that. Take your Bible, hold your hand there in Psalm 119 because we're going to go back there. But look at Mark chapter 16 and the last verse in Mark chapter 16. Paul said in Timothy that Trophimus have I left in Miletum sick. If Paul had the gift of healing, why is he leaving a man sick? Because they were transitioning from the law into grace as the church was coming along and being birthed and being brought forth. Now look at Mark chapter 16 and look at verse number 14. Mark 16, 14. Afterward, he prepared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, talking about Jesus, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And look at verse 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Okay? So Jesus is telling those disciples, those individuals that are there with him, like, listen, those that go forward, those that believe, these signs are going to follow them. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Now look, in my name shall they cast out devils. Everybody loves that one, right? Because anybody can do that. They shall speak with new tongues. We like that one too. We like that one. Speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Okay, so before you start preaching to me about how tongues is still in existence and trying to show me from the Word of God why tongues is still existent in existence, I want you to drink some antifreeze before you do it, and I want you to have a rattlesnake around your neck while you tell me. And then maybe I'll start listening to you a little bit, maybe. Because I'm still going to base it off the Word of God. Here's a cup of antifreeze. Drink it. Because the Bible says that if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. There be very few false prophets out there and teachers that are willing to try to drink some antifreeze or strychnine or take something that is deadly before they start preaching the Word of God to show that they're a prophet or an apostle.
Truth.
But they'll speak in new tongues and they'll say, that's of God and that's for today. And they'll prophesy. And I believe they'll do fake healings. Because you see, you can almost rig all that kind of stuff up. Look, I could speak to you in tongues right now, and you would think that I was Pentecostal on you. I could do it right now. But it would be me doing it and me acting. And I put myself in situations in churches before when I was... And I purposely spoke in... Well, I did speak in tongues, but I did it of my own free will, and I knew it. And later on, I came back after I preached, and I told the individuals that, and they said, no, you're lying. I said, no, listen, I did it. No, you didn't do it. They wouldn't even believe me when I said I was faking it. And that right there started turning around things in my mind of, I just told you I faked. Listen, I was preaching in the Pentecostal church. I was raised Pentecostal. But God started showing me some things in my mind, and I started questioning some things according to the Word of God. And in my zeal, when I was preaching, I spoke in tongues, but I knew I did it. I could do it right now, and you would think that I'm speaking in tongues. I'm not going to do it because I'm not going to mock. But I knew I did it, and I felt bad about it because I felt like I deceived the people. So later on that night, I came back to the church, and I said, listen, I got to apologize. I did that this morning. Oh, no, you didn't do that. Don't let the devil deceive you. No. I said, oh, okay, something's wrong here now. Because I'm telling you, I did it. Brethren, the reason I say that is because when we were up at the farmer's market with Brother Joe and Sister Chris, an individual came by and gave me a card to look at these movies and all that. And guess what they're all doing? They're speaking in tongues. But one thing that another red flag that showed me is this man started rebuking the devil and he says, I command thee, I command thee. No. If anybody's rebuking the devil, you're rebuking him on the Lord's sake.
Yes.
Not you. You have no power over a devil. You say, preacher, why are you talking about it? Because it's going to come in more and more and more. Now, I personally believe that tongues, and I believe the Bible shows that tongues is a sign gift. And the Jews require a sign. But the Bible also says, Jesus says, an adulterous and a wicked generation seeketh after a sign. You see, not a lot of people today are willing to sit in church and read and go through and see what does the Bible say. No, they want the entertainment, they want the feeling, they want it to be light, they want it to be happy, rather than what does the Bible say. And the Bible says, endure hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. So the devil knows that, so the devil will get in and start pounding you if in your mind you think that I should always be healed from every sickness, that everything should always go good for me, and if these things don't happen in my life, then I must not be right with God. And the devil will jump all over you, and he'll, if you allow him, he'll pound you to death with that thought and that doctrine. No, if bad things are happening in your life, you might just be doing exactly what God wants you to do, and the devil's trying to persuade you to stop and quit. Afflictions. The Bible says in Psalm 119, if you still held your hand there, flip back over to Psalm 119 and look what he says in verse number 107. Psalm 107, or Psalm 119, verse number 107. Look what it says here. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. How are you quickened? How are you made alive? How are you enabled to with endure and go through these afflictions? According to God's word, that he'll never leave you nor forsake you. And he sees all that's going on in your life. Now, flip on over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. Actually, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This verse just, all I can do is just shake my head at this verse because Paul's, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And look at verse number 7. I'm telling you, sometimes I wonder if people even read their Bibles. I really do. A lot of your false doctrines, Matthew chapter 24, Matthew chapter 25, and the book of Acts. First book, part of book of Acts, base all their doctrines out of those, that book and Matthew 24. Listen. Matthew, the book of Matthew, is a Jewish book.
Yes, right.
The church is found, I'm telling you right now, the church is found, if you read Matthew from chapter 1 all the way through, in context, the church is nowhere to be found.
Right.
A lot of people want to put church in there with those 10 virgins who lose their oil. The church is nowhere to be found in the book of Matthew. That is a Jewish book. Now, can the church glean things from the book of Matthew? Absolutely. Can you get spiritual help from the book of Matthew? Absolutely. But you don't build the doctrines of the New Testament church from the book of Matthew. You're going to get yourself in trouble.
Right.
You're going to believe you can lose your salvation. You're going to believe that the church has replaced Israel. You have to make it all fit. And so people who don't rightly divide, they start jamming things, the church into places that the church does not need to be jammed into. And the same way with the book of Acts. Look at this here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. That we have a treasure in these earthen vessels. What is that treasure? Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Amen.
For what purpose? For what purpose is this treasure in us? That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Do you see that scripture? I pray that we all understand verse number 7 in the latter part. Because it's going to explain, it's going to help us as we go through the next verses. Look, when you go through something traumatic, when you go through something heavy, when you go through a big loss in your life, it makes you weak. It punches you up against the ropes like a boxer. You might even fall down. But if you let God work in your life, that power of God, as He works through your life, the world will see that power working through you, God's power working through you. Do you understand? Do you see this principle this morning? That the excellency is not that you can push through this trial, but that Christ in you helps and carries you through it.
Amen.
It's that principle that Dr. Comer talks about of you yielding, not doing. You can't do it. If you try to do it in your own strength and in your own power, you're going to quit and you're going to fall. But if you allow Christ to pick you up and strengthen you and invigorate in you and help you through it, He will receive the glory because you're going to point it all back to Him. Use this man as an example right here. Lost his wife back in February. And a co-worker knows that, hear of it and know of it, and they come to him. How are you making it? How are you making it? How are you doing it? Jesus Christ.
Hey.
Do you see that the excellency of the power of God? Look what it says in verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. I hope Jason doesn't go to them and say, well, I'm doing it. I'm making it through. No, God's helping me through because He's the only one that can help me through such a tragic loss as that. And it's a witness and a testimony to what Jesus Christ can do. It's not a dead religion.
Right.
He has something real. It's not dead. It's not Buddha. It's not Islam. It's not Taoism. He has something that's real.
Hey.
But that what He has real can only be seen by the hardship that He went through. Does that make sense this morning? I pray it does. I pray it does. Look at verse number 8. We are troubled on every side. This is not a bed of ease. This isn't a bed of roses. Paul says we are troubled on every side. Yet, not distressed. We are perplexed. Why is this happening? I don't understand this, God. But not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Look at verse 10. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Why? That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our bodies. Do you see this morning, you have to get to a point where you allow God to help you die to self. There can be no power in your Christian walk this morning unless you die to self for the purpose of Jesus Christ working through you. Do you see this morning? Look at verse number 11. For we which live are always... Lord, help me. Help me to get this across this morning, Lord. Help me. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal bodies. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Knowing that He which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might be through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. I love these next verses. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Now verse 17 just blows my mind about it. For our light affliction. Paul says, for our light affliction. Light affliction. He considers being stoned almost to death, being whipped, being shipwrecked and out there on the sea for a night and a day. He counts all the persecution he's gone through. And he says, for our light affliction, look what it says, which is but for a moment, worketh for us. What does it work for us? A far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You know what we go through, what it should cause us to do? If ye then be risen with Christ, set your affection on things above. This life is quick. This life is over before you know it. So what should we do with the very few moments and days that God's given us? To live it for His glory, for His honor, and for His praise. All to Him.
Amen.
But it takes you dying to self. He's God, but He's good, and He loves us, and He cares for us, and He knows what we're going through. And Paul got a hold of that principle of, no matter what happens to me, no matter what I go through, I bear in the marks the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Back to verse 10, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Why? That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. The life of Jesus Christ cannot be made manifest in your walk and in your body unless you cause Him and allow yourself to be put on that cross daily and to die to self. There's no other way for it to be exhibited. If it's being exhibited any other way, it's you and not the Lord. It's you and not the Lord. The Lord requires for us to die daily so that He might be made manifest in our walk with Him. Take your Bible next and look over at 2 Corinthians. Stay in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The next thing, the next question will we allow God to plant us? And if God plants us there, are we willing to stay there? You see, Adam had two legs. I don't know if you know that or not, but God created Adam and he had two legs and he had two arms and he had two eyes and he had a body just like we have. And the Bible says that God planted a garden eastward there to eat it, and there he put the man whom he had formed. But guess what God didn't do? At least I don't find it in Scripture. God didn't put up a fence or a 15-foot wall around that garden. Adam could have said, "Appreciate it, Lord, you put me here in this position, but I'd rather be over here in this position." You see, God gave Adam a free will. Adam was not a robot. Adam wasn't programmed to do exactly what God wanted him to do. God gave Adam a choice, and we see that Adam blew that because of the choice he had. You see, you have a choice in the matters that you're facing in your life. Either you can allow God to help you through it, strengthen you through it, see you through it, or you can try to do it in your own strength and handle it your own way, which will cause misery, sometimes depression, sometimes despair, sometimes to where you just want to quit. Or you can just bring more problems upon yourself because you're trying to handle it. You see, God gives you the choice to either you handle it your way or you allow God to help you handle it His way. In the garden, are you allowed or are you willing to stay in the garden of trouble? Are you willing to stay in the garden of despair? Are you willing to stay in the garden of perplexity or persecution or being cast down or even death? Are you willing to stay there in that garden? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, or 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Well, look at verse number 3 first. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. Look at verse number 4. Who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. You see, what you're going through today, you might just be able to comfort someone later on that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen, I can't help someone that's lost their wife and raising two children as a single parent because I've never been through it. But that man can. I can't go to that individual and say, "Well, I know what it feels like. I know what it entails and what I faced week after week and night after night when I was by myself." I can't say those things to that individual. This man can. And you see, he can do that because of the comfort he received through Jesus Christ. And therefore, his experience, his trial, what he went through, he then can then comfort someone who might not have Jesus Christ yet, who might not be saved, who might not even know who God is. Yet he can come alongside them and say, "Listen, I know someone that can help you through this."
Glory.
See. But that can occur unless you got God working your life. See, if he goes about all day, "God, why? God, why? God, I hate you. God, I don't understand this. God, why'd you do this?" He can't be in a place to where he can help anybody yet. But if he can rest in, "God, you do all things well. God, you do all things well. God, I don't understand. God, I don't know why. But I know you're good. I know you're the God of comforts. I know you're merciful and I know you love me. Help me to rest in that."
Lord.
This is what the world needs. This is what the world needs.
You're helping us, preacher.
Christians that let God put them through some horrible, terrible things in the hopes of that you'll come out on the other side to help someone who doesn't know Jesus Christ go through the same horrible thing and hopefully come to Christ as their Savior. Are you willing to stay planted there or are you trying to run from it? Verse number 5 in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. "For as the suffering of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. Paul must not have been right with God. No, I think he's right where God wanted him. Verse 9. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. You see a theme as you go through 2 Corinthians. A theme of hardship, a theme of trials, a theme of afflictions and persecutions. Yet Paul says there's a God of comfort who will help you through it and will console you and strengthen you through the hardships that you go through. Number 3, we need to be planted in the courts of our Lord so that we can be strong and bring forth fruit through His power and strength. Take your Bible and look over at Psalm 92. One of the last things I want to look at here this morning. How do you get strength? I talked a little bit, touched a little bit on here this morning. How do you get strength with the gardens that God plants you in that sometimes are not pleasant, are hard to go through? How do you make it through those times of God putting you through afflictions? Look at Psalm chapter number 92, verse number 12. Psalm 92, verse 12. The righteous, in Psalm chapter 92, verse 12, the righteous shall flourish. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Look what it says. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. God is good.
Yes.
God is good. Preacher, if God is so good, why do all these heartaches occur in this world? If God is so good, why does he let a 3-year-old little boy over there in the hospital suffer with leukemia? Preacher, if God's so good, why did this happen in my life? If God's so good, why does this happen in my life? But what people fail to realize is you don't ever hear people say, well, why do good things happen in life as well? If God's so bad, why does this good thing happen in my life? If God's so bad, why did he let me enjoy that? If God's so bad, why did he bring this good thing into my life? You see, there's both good and evil. And brethren, we live in a sin-cursed world. We live in a sin-cursed world, and man has brought this upon himself because of his rebellion against God. This is not how God set it up to be. This was not God's plan from the very beginning, that heartache and calamities and troubles and trials and horrific things happen. God didn't set it up this way. Man chose to rebel against God, and man brought this upon himself. But I've had those questions asked me before. I've had that question asked me by a little girl asking me in the juvenile center, preacher, if God's so good, if God's love, why did God allow me to be raped by my uncle? When I cried out to him, God help me, and God didn't answer my prayer. Chap, how could God allow this, chap? How do you answer a girl like that? You say, honey, God's still good, and God will help you through it, and this isn't the end of the story. Honey, this isn't the end of the story. God saw all that happened to you, and there is a reckoning day. So you see, honey, you can find strength, you can find help for what was done to you through Jesus Christ. And don't worry, someday God's going to deal with that individual. You see, we live in this finite world, in our finite mind, and don't realize that God sees all that's happening, and God is not forgetting. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord.
Amen.
There is an eternity, and God will repay.
Yes.
They ain't escaping. They may escape temporarily and think they've got over on something and got away with it and nobody knows about it, but God sees from heaven and knows exactly what you did. And God has punishment set for the crime.
Mm-hmm. Well,
do you see this morning, brethren? You know how you get help? By being planted in the house of the Lord. And you shall flourish in the courts of our God. Now, I know I've said this before, and I'll say it again and again. If you take it the wrong way, that's between you and God. God understands why I'm saying this. You need to be in church. You need to be in church Sunday morning. You need to be in church Sunday night. And you need to be in church Wednesday night. Listen, if a Haitian can walk 5 miles to church, we can stand for 2 songs.
Amen.
Preacher ain't being mean to make you stand for 2 songs in a row. When a Haitian grandma can walk at least 5 miles to church on a Sunday morning and then stand and sing the whole time there glorifying God. I ain't heard such beautiful music ever in my entire life than in that little tore down cement block church with no toilets, no nothing. And those Haitian women came in there and it was like angels singing to God. And they didn't have nothing. They didn't have nothing. We're spoiled Americans. Preacher's going to make me stand for 2 songs. God help us. And we think we're going to go through something if persecution comes and we can't stand for 2 songs. God help us. You're talking about Paul, who was beat to death, stoned to death, whipped, shipwrecked. And you're going to tell Apostle Paul, yeah, I had trouble standing for 2 songs, Paul. God help us. God help us. Brethren, I'm being nice this morning. We got to give an account to God.
Yeah.
Now listen, if you got health issues, you got health issues, Brother Glenn's got back issues, Brother Dave's got some issues, if you got to sit because, amen, that's fine. But if you're able to stand, you ought to stand, not for preacher. I'm a dirt ball. You ought to stand for him.
Amen.
For him.
Yes.
For the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. We ought to be in church. Brother, I'm going to say this morning too. Family does not come before church.
True.
Family does not come before church and before your walk with God. No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. My family didn't come in between me and coming up here. I got 3 boys back in Charleston, South Carolina. I love them death. And I miss them every day. I miss them. But I'm going to do what God called me to do. Family does not come before church. Family does not come before God. God comes first. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, and so much more as you see the day approaching. We ought to be in church more, brethren, than 2,000 years ago. Because we're a lot closer than when Paul was here.
Yeah.
Preacher, I can't make it. Preacher, I'm struggling. Are you in church? Well, yeah, I go one time a week. Brother, I'm not being more. This stuff's been weighing heavy on my mind and heavy on my heart. I don't know why it's so heavy on me, but I believe here that some things are coming down the pipe that's going to change this country, and we need to get close to God now while we have an opportunity.
Amen.
Amen.
Do you understand? This thing all week, for about a month now, in my mind, heavy on my shoulders of the state of our country and the way we're heading and what's going on around our nation and if lockdowns come down again and restrictions come on us again, how is the church going to make it through it? You can't eat 2 slices of bread on Monday and expect to be strong on Friday.
Come on.
You're going to eat today. You're probably going to eat 3 times today, maybe, at least twice. You're not going to eat a meal this morning if you ate something for breakfast and then say, you know what, I'm good till Friday. You might be able to fast that long, but you're going to be pretty weak come Friday morning. We need one another. We need church. Listen, it's not so much sometimes of what might you get from the preaching. It might be what you might be able to give to somebody else.
Yes, that's good.
Sheep, listen, sheep are not isolated pets and animals. Sheep need one another. They need that touch, not only of the shepherd, but of one another.
Yeah.
A sheep that is isolated, a sheep that tries to handle it by itself, is a sheep that will fall down into a depression and get diseased. I'm almost done. Listen, you know what happens if a sheep gets isolated and doesn't come to church and allow God to shear them? They get a fleece, a big old fleece on. A sheep needs to be sheared by the shepherd. And I'm not talking about me as a shepherd. I'm talking about the chief shepherd. He knows how to shear us. But you know what happens if you don't shear a sheep consistently on a regular basis? They die, they tip over. Sheep are an animal that can't clean themselves. So they start getting excrement and waste on their rear end. I'm not going to get graphic with it, but it gets pretty nasty. So what is that a picture of? A Christian life gets pretty stinky. A sheep needs to be sheared. A sheep needs to be cleaned up, or else what's going to call dingleberries to start. And they call the bigger ones grenades. And I'm using shepherd terms. They call them grenades on their rear end. And you know why a lot of Christians walk stink today? Their walk stinks is because they ain't been sheared in forever. They just come to church when they feel like coming to church, and they don't ever allow God to work in their life, and they stink. And you know what also occurs with their wool? Their wool becomes useless. Even if it's sheared, they might have tons of wool on them, but if it's dirty and the fibers are messed up in there, it's useless.
Yes.
Sheep need one another. Sheep need church.
Yes, sir.
Brethren, I love you this morning, but as your preacher, I'm trying to help you. We need to be in church. We need to be in church no matter what. Not for just the preaching, not just for the singing, but for what we can do for one another. And being a help and encouragement in these last days that we're living in. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning. Oh, God, help. Help, Lord. God, help me as a pastor. Lord, help me as a pastor, dear God, to put forth the warning. Lord, help us as sheep, dear God, myself included, Lord, to allow you to shear us. Lord, help us, Lord, to be willing, Lord, to allow you to work in our life, that Lord, for the purpose of glorifying you. Lord, for the purpose of glorifying you. Lord, help us if we're going through afflictions. Help us, Lord, if we're going through distresses. Help us, Lord, if we're going through depressions or sorrows or heartaches. Dear God, help us, Lord. But Lord, we found there in Psalms, dear God, that we can be planted in the courts of our God and in your house, Lord, and we can flourish there and bring forth fruit, Lord.
Yes.
Help us to plant ourselves in church.